Hey everybody, this is Danny Danko. Hey, I want to let you know we went a little long today. We got Currency, we got Jorge Cervantes, we couldn't cut it all. So all you normal radio live listeners and people listening on that, it will get cut off somewhere in the middle of the Jorge interview. So please check out hightimes.com/freeweed. You can subscribe there, iTunes, etc. That's where you'll find the whole episode in its entirety. And please subscribe. With no further ado, free weed.
Danny Danko on the normal radio. Free weed. Free weed. Oy, oy. Danny Danko come to show you how it grows.
You're now tuned into Free Weed from Danny Danko on normal radio. Presented by High Times Magazine. See me, I say, boom, bang. Big respect. See me, I say, Danny Danko.
Welcome. We have quite the show for you. Thank you, Jacques. Thank you, Winstrong, for that wonderful tune. People have been asking lately, how can they get that tune? The best way to get the tune, just keep replaying the podcast. That's the way to do it right there. We're going to get it out eventually, but for now, just replay Free Weed. All right. Well, welcome to episode 4, ladies and beneficial microbes. I appreciate the support. You guys are here for us, and we're here for you. We're trying to get you free weed. So we're going to come with some news, some current events, and some activism. Then we have a great interview segment planned with the hip-hop artist Currency, Currency Spitta, a wonderful friend and supporter of marijuana law reform and a great rapper as well. We got our hits from the head shop coming up, our great recorded calls. People have been loving that. We got a nice one for this week. And and then we get heavy into the cultivation. We're going to talk about the early flowering period, the transition between vegetative and flowering. I find a lot of people have problems during that period, and that's very important for your future harvest to treat the plants right during that time. So we're going to talk about that. We've got our strain of the week. We're going to do Dear Danko Q&A, answering your grow questions from Twitter, from Facebook, from wherever, however you can get them to me, by email, by snail mail. Whatever you can do, check us out on Twitter, at Danny Danko. Check us out on Facebook, you know, definitely. And then after that, an incredible interview with a mentor of mine, the grow guru, Jorge Cervantes. Everybody knows Jorge's RX and all of his wonderful books that he's put out about cannabis cultivation and videos and all kinds of stuff. We're going to talk to Jorge about what's been going on lately in the cultivation scene, a little bit about his career and Project CBD and all kinds of interesting stuff. So a lot of exciting stuff on the show, and now we're going to get into the news. Interesting story about Israel, and we have my colleague Nico Escondido, cultivation editor of High Times, to talk about this because he was recently in, yeah, there he is. Because he was recently in Israel on a grow story for High Times. He interviewed Meshulam, the doctor who discovered THC, as well as visiting some of these gardens that they have there for their medical marijuana. The news is that the Israeli cabinet approved the medical marijuana guidelines, and this is, you know, really one of the most conservative governments out there, recognizing that medical use of cannabis is necessary in certain cases. And I think one of the major cases, Nico, I'm sure you would agree, is probably PTSD.
Yeah, that's one of the ailments that they allow medical marijuana for in Israel is post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. And, you know, when I went over there, I expected to find most of the patients being, you know, younger people just out of the army who, you know, most of those kids see awful things. But actually, it was quite spread out, you know. Most of the patients that I saw there were cancer patients, terminally ill type patients, stuff like that.
So here in this article, it says that right now there's been 6,000 patients authorized by Baruch, but they're predicting that with doctor and patient satisfaction so high in this program that the number could reach 40,000 by 2016, which is pretty amazing. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that, they put every single person when they turn 18 into the army, And a lot of them end up having to maybe do things that they're not super psyched on because there's, you know.
Sure, they see a lot of stuff just on a daily basis over there that we can't imagine.
Now, you talked to this Dr. Baruch, right? You visited his mental health center there in Bat Yam?
Yes, I did. I met with Dr. Baruch. It was a very, very brief visit, but I saw the facility that the health ministry over there distributes the medical marijuana out of. They seemed a bit overwhelmed because, like you said, they do have thousands of patients, so even at this point, and they're distributing it all through their own department. So I saw a new facility that was being converted into a distribution facility and a medicating area for patients. But I think the new news is more on the production side, right?
Right. Well, yeah. what these articles are saying is that now the health ministry is going to get into the cultivation business rather than just monitoring and serving as an agency for the distribution of cannabis. They are actually going to grow cannabis. And oddly enough, the Israeli police wanted these supplies to be imported, even though that's much more expensive and seems to be more effort for them rather than just allowing this to be produced domestically. What's interesting is that the Israeli Pharmacists Association also wants to be distributing to their patients through the pharmacies. But here the health ministry sort of jumped in and ran with the ball, and now they want to produce and distribute the cannabis. And I'm sure you visited gardens that were local producers that were producing for the health ministry, right?
Yeah, correct.
And these were huge greenhouses full of cannabis, right?
Yeah, these were large format facilities. These farms mostly were either indoor or greenhouse. There was no just straight outdoor. But they were massive in size and production.
And quality genetics?
Yeah, actually, they were actively pursuing or hunting, I should say, some of the better medicinal strains in the world. When I was there, of course, with Matt, who you know from BC Bud Depot. He was there on a...
out of Vancouver, right?
Yeah, out of Vancouver. He was there on a genetic diplomacy type mission of sorts. He was bringing some strains. They were experimenting with some stuff that grow, you know, up there on Vancouver Island, some of those purples and stuff, because they're extremely resilient, mold resistant, disease resistant. They were interested in those properties. And then, of course, they talked to our friend Ariane at Greenhouse. They talked to the boys, Don and Aaron at DNA. They frequent the Israeli growers frequent Spanibus and get up to Barcelona and they meet the Spanish growers. They know what's going on, and they know about the CBD. Of course, you mentioned Meshulam is over there. He's in the south of the country, but still his work is permeating, you know, all of these departments throughout the state and you know, country level. So
it's interesting because Israel also pioneered hydroponics at the Ein Gedi Institute. And so they've had a big hand in this cannabis cultivation thing. And, they worked with NASA and all kinds of people there to develop. Are they growing those greenhouse plants hydroponically?
Let's see. What did they have going? Actually, they did technically speaking, it's hydroponic. They use a soilless mixture.
Soilless mix with like a drip emitter system?
Yep, exactly. It was a top feed drip. Fully automated, of course, but greenhouse, so trees. But then indoors, they have their nurseries. They have to veg everything very long. And they had a few grow rooms indoors that were tray table type setups. But again, they're using soilless medium for the most part.
Yeah, well, interesting news from Israel there. Thank you, Nico.
Anytime,
one more thing,
Danny.
About that. Yeah, one more thing, actually. This number of 40,000 patients by 2016, how are they going to be able to sustain this with one doctor capable of authorizing medical marijuana? I mean, at some point, they're going to have more than just one doctor,
yeah,
right?
I mean, that's a very interesting question. When I was there, I was surprised to find out that all of the scripts were being written by Dr. Baruch. But that's just an oversight type of issue because this program is in its infancy over there. So they're going to that's going to have to change. I'm sure Dr. Baruch is going to open it up to other qualified physicians. And I bet I would even go so far as to say I see in the future, you know, facilities in different regions of Israel with a head director for possibly the north and then the central and the south region where people could go there, see a doctor, get a script, and probably also pick up their medicine. I can't imagine they're going to have very sick patients driving across the country of Israel for much longer to pick up medical cannabis.
Right. They're going to make it easier to get from.
Of course. You know, they're smart. They know how to do it. They're good business people over there. But like you said, they're a little more conservative. They're a little bit more focused on the task at hand. There's no room for error over there.
Do you think this new program will affect the growers that you met, the greenhouse people? Or?
I hope not. I hope not. The guys at Candoc, Neri and Ori and those guys were really cool. One or two of them have moved on and working with other facilities in the area too. But there were only maybe about a dozen licensed facilities, production facilities, when I was there. And, of course, this wasn't too long ago. This was just in December of last year. So I think there's a supply issue. And
right.
I think that it will be in cooperation with the government along with these private production facilities.
Right. So yeah. Greater and greater demand is going to – allow.
Yeah, you said it. I mean, what was the number?
40,000
anticipated?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'd say that's easily achievable there.
So the most interesting part of this story for me is that here's the Israeli cabinet, one of the most conservative governments on earth here, saying that marijuana has medical uses and acting accordingly. And I think it stands in stark contrast to what our own federal government is saying about medical marijuana. And, you know, on a side note, as far as the big thing lately has been job creation, I haven't seen an industry in the last 2 or 3 years with as much job creation as medical marijuana. Obama, I'm still with you, buddy, but you're making it real difficult. I wish you would send a message to us, your constituents, the pot smokers of America, and let us know that should we choose to support you in this second term, you will do something for us. You know, a lot has changed in the years that you've been in charge, but not enough. And you were on the record in 2006 saying that the war on drugs is a failure. And I need you to act on those words. Remember those words and act on those words. Stateside, medical marijuana is under fire in Michigan now. We've got some douchebag Republican, John Walsh, Republican of Livonia, who is afraid that this medical marijuana law is somehow lining the pockets of drug dealers. Since when are, you know, people who dispense legal alcohol or pharmaceutical drugs or even cigarettes considered drug dealers, you know? And here the people have spoken, and yet this guy is introducing 8 bills this fall aimed at restricting and defining aspects of the Michigan medical marijuana law voted in by the people. So he's our douchebag of the week. I mean, dude, we have thousands of jobs. Bud tender, bud buyer, dispensary owner, grower, vendor. We're creating thousands of jobs in California, Colorado, all these places where there are dispensary systems. And people are growing their own too. And I think it's wonderful. And anybody that stands in the way of the public on this is a douche. And we're going to call them out. You know, that's the way it is. We voted this in. This is the will of the people. The most recent poll I heard from Ethan Nadelman recently had 55% of Americans in favor of medical marijuana. That's the highest it's ever been, and it only goes higher.
Yeah, it seems to be reaching a tipping point with support there. But
yeah.
I think part of the problem that we're not maybe focusing on when we talk about these things is that to maybe the general person listening in who's not plugged into this scene and doesn't know a lot about it, what he's saying is, all right, we gotta make these a little more restrictive and tighten them up. And he's saying stuff like felons shouldn't be able to become caregivers, and online medical marijuana certification should be stopped, and the doctor-client doctor-patient relationship has to be better defined. I think a lot of people will see that in the news and say, hey, these sound like reasonable things. I mean, do you have any response to that? Is this...
Well, my response is the less we have these people regulating our industry and the more we can self-regulate our industry, the better. So I agree with Debbie Goldsberry and people like that who say self-regulation is the answer. We allow hospital rooms to regulate themselves, and it's actually stricter than what government regulations would be. And so there are these bodies in certain businesses that regulate themselves, and they do a better job than the government could ever do. And so I think we as a community need to focus on self-regulation, community outreach, just convincing people that, you know, the dispensary isn't going to – it's not there goes the neighborhood. It's, wow, this is an awesome neighborhood, and people are looking out for their neighbors. They're cutting down on the petty crimes that occur in the area. They're participating in local politics and local events. They're sending, you know, fruit baskets to the elementary school. They're reaching out to the community and saying, hey, we provide a service. We've got free yoga, free counseling.
Come for the yoga and stay for the ganja. Stay for the ganja. Yeah.
Absolutely.
No, it's an interesting thing that the self-regulation, our culture has been sort of regulating it itself for however many years at this point, right?
I mean, yeah. Exactly. Even underground, we've been self-regulating.
Right.
Now we need to bring that self-regulation above ground and, abide by a certain set of rules and regulations that we put upon ourselves. And that way the government can just stay out of it, because I really, you know, I'm not a conspiracy guy, but I really just think the less they get involved, the less regulation, the better. Ultimately, that's the way it's going to be. If we have to go through these minor steps to get to full legalization, I'm all for it. Any step forward is a step in the right direction. But the less regulation, the better. And just stay out of it. Republicans, Democrats, whoever you are, you know, stay out of it. Let us do our thing. We will create the jobs. We will create a huge market, and you'll see that there's nothing to fear from us.
I mean, I haven't been to Detroit in quite a while, and I'm looking forward to going there. We're going to be there on October 15th and 16th the Cup.
Yeah, that's the Cup.
Looking forward to seeing what's going on over there. I think it's probably going to be an interesting scene. The last time I was in Detroit, it was a fairly depressed kind of place. It wasn't a place you wanted to spend a lot of time.
I heard RoboCop lives there, man.
RoboCop is there.
You know, every other house is boarded up.
Every other
house. And people need something. The patients of Michigan want this. The people of Michigan voted for this. This is the way it's got to be. And all these people standing in the way, they're straw men. Take them down. So that's the news out of Michigan and Israel. We will be back after this brief segment with our interview with Currency.
This is Peter Tosh Phenomenal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Did you know that more than 400,000 Americans were arrested last year for the possession of marijuana? People are being sentenced to up to 40 years for even standing beside a joint. Well, I think it is definitely time for you to help doing something towards this. To find out what you can do, just write NORMAL. NORML.
1600 K Street Northwest, Washington, D.C. 2006. That's 1600 K Street Northwest, Washington, D.C. 2006.
Help NORMAL to help protect your rights.
All right, welcome back. We are talking right now with hip hop artist Currency Spitta. What's up, Currency? How are you?
I'm cool. Just trying to light a candle and mask a few smells.
Lighting a candle so that your condo association won't kick you out.
Yeah, they're trying to pool the money together and just get and buy it back from me.
Right.
Give me out.
They're complaining about the smoke.
Yeah, somebody said that their clothes are starting to smell greed or something.
Wow.
The property manager said that three people had told her that they had smoked weed with me in my unit, which is insane. And I'm like, well, if that's the case, shouldn't they be in trouble as well? You know what I'm saying? Like, if they told you that they did that, but that's crazy too. I'm just being targeted, bro.
Yeah, well, someday soon we'll have it so it's legal and you can do that without having to worry about losing property or anything like that, right? Yeah, definitely. It's happening in some places already, you know. So a couple of places where we've been with you, in Amsterdam and San Francisco, it's a whole different world out there, right?
Absolutely. I love New Orleans. I love my town.
Yeah, New Orleans.
I wouldn't mind just hanging out in Amsterdam where I'm not ridiculed for my lifestyle. I'm pretty sure that I could find a condo out there that wouldn't bother me. And I'm pretty sure, like, there's all kinds of places in LA that just look the other way, like, that don't pay any attention to this. It's not that big of a deal, man. I can't even believe, you know.
Yeah, well, I figure
that people are going to, you know what I'm saying, behind it.
If they legalized in New Orleans, they could really make some money and rebuild with that money.
It would be like financially, it would be incredible.
Yeah.
And I mean, I always say like alcohol is a more dangerous.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And for the police in New Orleans, for the police that around there to be wasting their time on weed cases is just ridiculous. Because it's wild in the streets.
We got enough problems. We got enough problems out there.
Yeah. Well, this is a solution. Weed is a solution. You know what I mean?
Yeah. On many levels, man. Economy wise, and I think, like, not even being funny, but you would notice just a change in people. You
right.
know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. It would just be different, man. Just the whole idea of everything. I feel like when I get to California, there's a different vibe, like a general understanding mm-hmm. amongst people. And even if I find out that it's a person who doesn't smoke, it's just generally that they have that.
Yeah, they're tolerant.
You know, that attitude just towards their life and towards how things go. And I think that all stems from the weed culture, you know what I'm saying? Like, that they may have never smoked weed and have to get parents did, you know what I'm saying? And just the idea and people, you know, what gets you upset, letting get another person upset and things that you let go make other people jump out the window.
Yeah. how is the jet life treating you right now?
I can't complain. Everything's cool. We are taking a break from recording and working on the album and touring at the same time. I'm home for like 5 days. I've been home for a couple of days.
Nice.
Smoking out of my Doobie Award. It's still functional.
Smoking out of the Doobie Award. That's excellent.
First functional award I ever received. Like, everything else is just a paperweight. You know, you get a solid gold statue. And then what does he do?
Right.
Put it on the bookcase, it falls down, it's your toe.
The Doobie is functional.
yes, absolutely.
Well, Weekend of Bernie's was incredible. I wanted to know, what are you working on now? You did the covert coup, right? With Alchemist?
Yeah, I did that. I'm working on Verde Paris. Verde is green. And Paris, of course, would be a good spot on the game. It was a good view, elevated area. So, just a play on words for my lifestyle. And I'm putting that out with DJ Drama. That'll be out August 23rd.
Oh, nice.
And I'm working on an album right now, which I haven't titled yet. So, as far as the dates, I've been batting around a few days. I'll be sure to put it out before the year is out. But the title, I'm still a little far beyond. I'm 8 records in so far.
Right. Wow, that's amazing. Where do you find the best weed in the USA? Some of your favorite strains?
California. Okay.
North or South?
Honestly, San Francisco.
San Francisco.
In Los Angeles.
NorCal. Los Angeles. Some of the people at High Times wanted to know if you have weed written into the rider for your green room.
Yes, well, for me, I don't want to get any venues in trouble, any promoters in trouble.
Right.
So where it permits is definitely on the rider.
That's awesome. Yeah, I know. Anytime you do our High Times events, we definitely We definitely provide it, you know, in Amsterdam and San Fran. Right? We try to make sure you had a package and a bunch of different things to try out there.
The best.
What's your favorite strains?
Well, I'm OG.
OG?
OG Kush.
OG Kush.
Sour Diesel, Bubba. Bubba Kush is really good.
Bubba.
Like, headband and all that stuff, they're really good, but not what I reach for. If I'm showing up to get something, I'm asking for OG Kush immediately. And then once you say no, you're hurt, then that's when I can talk to you about some other stuff, but initially it's about the OG.
The top shelf.
Yeah, man, that's my favorite. It's I feel like and Chem Dog. Chem Dog too. Chem Dog is one of those that you can't.
Chem Dog, yeah, nice.
Yeah.
What
it's like all the undeniable power. Like nothing that you can a lot of this other stuff like, you know, it'll be good sometimes, but anybody tries to grow it and it doesn't always work.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell instantly you got some bad OG, like, nah, this isn't, you grew this bad, I don't even want to breathe it in. But with that blue green and all that kind of stuff and perk, it'll smell like right? You give it a shot and you'll kill yourself.
Yeah, well, that's the more sativa side, you know, it's not as quite as much of a body high, you know, and sometimes people looking for that, like, that relaxation and that real potency.
Yes, I mean, that's the whole point of it for me. Now, I don't understand people like, oh, yeah, well, you know, that's more something that, well, you know, I want something that's not going to give me too high, and I'm like, don't fuck anything like, you
yeah,
know what I mean? Like,
I have heard
what's
that.
The point of this? Like, what's this called, you know?
Yeah, I've definitely heard that from people before, and I can't really relate.
Yeah, like people use it, they say that that's a good characteristic of stuff. They're like, oh, yeah, man, I like this stuff. It doesn't give me too high. I'm like, oh, no, don't pass me that, man.
I'm still trying to find out how to get too high.
Like, what does that even mean? What does that mean? I don't even know. I've never been there. I wouldn't mind finding out for science. Anything for science. I wouldn't mind finding out what that's like.
Wow, that's great. Well, if people want to find out what you're up to, they can check out currencyspitta.com, right? That's your
Yep, they can hit me on there, or they can always go to my Twitter where me and you are always chopping it up. They can hit me at currency CURREN.
Yeah, and they can check you on Twitter too, because you're on there, you're responding to your fans and you're interacting with your people on there. It's currency_spitta
you can interact with
the guy right there, and you know, this is definitely a dude that supports cannabis marijuana law reform, a dude that's not afraid to speak out, and a great musician and artist. So I'm really excited to have you on the show. I'm really psyched.
Yeah, thank you, bro. I'm glad to be able to do it and just to be able to talk on behalf of us, you know what I'm saying, and who we are, and our place in this world, you know what I'm saying, and just so that when it all pays off, and we all get to celebrate, you know what I'm saying, we all know who laid it down, and I definitely respect you and everybody who you work with for fighting, you know what I'm saying, for pretty much like, and a lot of shit, giving people a lane and a way to know that we're not driven by ourselves. That's the only reason I could stand so tough about it, is because I know I'm not crazy, and it's more people who feel, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, that plays a big part in it, too.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much for being on the show. CurrencySpitta.com is CurrencySpitta.com. Check them out there. Thank you very much. We're going to go to break right now, and we'll be back.
The High Times Medical Cannabis Cup is coming to Detroit on October 15th and 16th. That's right. The world's premier medical marijuana competition will be in Motown to celebrate the cannabis economy of the Great Lakes State. It's a two-day expo at Birch Warehouse Theater, showcasing the movers and shakers of the Michigan medical marijuana industry and the merchandise that makes the machine go. Be there for an amazing Saturday night VIP party featuring top musical performances and special guests. Best of all, High Times will award the Medical Cannabis Cup for top indicas, sativas, hybrids, concentrates, and edibles, entered by Michigan's dispensaries and collectives. Come to Burt's Warehouse Theater on October 15 and 16. Visit MedCanCup.com for all the details. Celebrate cannabis in Michigan. Celebrate the resurgence of Detroit. Be part of the growing cannabis community.
All right, we are back, and we're back with a segment we call Hits from the Head Shop. Very popular segment we have here, phone calls from our head shop at headshop.hightimes.com, 888-POT-SHOP. And here is our hit from the head shop of week number four.
Thank you for calling High Times Head Shop. My name is Lori. How may I help you?
Yeah, I've seen you, Maggie, the article in the High Times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can I get some decent seed that ain't going to cost me like 9,000 arms and legs?
Unfortunately, sir, we do not have any seeds for sale. That isn't what we do.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir.
What do y'all do?
We have past magazine issues, books, some articles of clothing, T-shirts, that kind of thing, caps.
No.
Other body stuff, like tattoos, you know, so.
Have you got a number one that I could call that's a pretty applicable business that might be able to hook me up on some?
I don't, sir, unfortunately, have any information available to me regarding Steve.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling High Time Tab Shop.
Interesting call. No, we do not sell seeds at the High Times Head Shop. We have advertisers in the magazine who sells seeds. We're hoping to have a sponsor for the show sometime soon who sells seeds, but we ourselves unfortunately can't sell cannabis seeds at this current juncture. But thank you very much. I love how he says the 9,000 arms and legs. That's pretty funny. And then he also asks the lady, the nice lady at the head shop, if she could provide him with a company that might sell seeds. So I would say just check out our website at hightimes.com. Check out the magazine. We have advertisers who sell all types of products, from seeds to T-shirts to all kinds of vaporizers and stuff, but no seeds from High Times at this current point. We'll be back after this short break with cultivation. We're going to talk about the early flowering stage.
Hey amigos, Nico Escondido, cultivation editor of High Times Magazine here. Are you tired of searching textbooks to answer one little grow question? Do your eyes hurt from hours in the grow room under those grow lamps? The last thing you want to do is pick up a book and start reading. Well, we have the solution. I'm proud to introduce to you High Times Presents Nico Escondido's Grow Like a Pro DVD with an easily searchable menu of over 60 DVD chapters covering indoor, greenhouse, and outdoor cultivation. All shot in HD, this unprecedented, never-seen-before footage of America's top medical marijuana production facilities includes all the tips and tricks you need to get growing. For more information or to buy this DVD, check out www.headshop.hightimes.com.
All right, welcome back from the break. We are now getting into our cultivation segment. I know everybody loves this segment. For sure. We're going to start with early flowering, get into the strain of the week, and then some questions. This week's topic, early flowering. Now, this is a stage of growth that a lot of people make mistakes on, and it's costly mistakes. This is the period of time after you change your light cycle from 18 or 20 or 22 hours of light per day to 12 hours of light and 12 hours of darkness. Now, it's very important that you maintain that 12-hour dark period. You can interrupt the light period if you need to. Do not interrupt the dark period with light. That is imperative because that will send your plant back into the flowering stage, into a stage of confusion where it may go hermaphroditic. It will react in some negative way to that stress. So you switch the cycle to 12-12 with your timer. Use a heavy-duty timer. And I used to be of the opinion that you would change the nutrients at that time to flowering nutrients. I have since changed opinions due to just talking to a lot of different growers. And now I'm more of the opinion that you need to keep giving a somewhat heavy nitrogen feeding at this point. Flowers have not begun forming, so until you have the little puffball female flowers start to form, you want to continue feeding with your high nitrogen vegetative solution for about the first week and a half to 2 weeks, and then slowly transition into the flowering nutrient, which will have more phosphorus and more potassium. Typically, that's on the NPK scale that almost any nutrient you buy will have listed their NPK ratio. You want that ratio to be higher at the beginning, N being nitrogen, P phosphorus, and K potassium. So this period of time is also, you can continue foliar feeding until you start seeing those little puffballs. You can continue with a lot of the things you were doing during the vegetative stage. The only thing that you should avoid is super cropping or trimming or any kind of cutting of any of the forming buds at this point, because right now you're only going to be hurting your yield in the end. The plant's not going to have time to recover from that cropping that you're doing and form large flowers. So I would avoid that with anything but the lowest branches. Now, if you like to trim off those lower branches and you have a longer vegetative time and a real bushy plant, you can still take off some of those lower branches during this period. But I would avoid, I would avoid cutting off any tops or anything that's kind of sticking up into your canopy, because that will ultimately harm your eventual yield. Because that growing top will form into a big bud as long as it gets enough light and enough food and enough air. So early flowering is setting the foundation for the later flowering period. And what you want to do in this time is not overfeed the plant. So it's keep it mild with the high nitrogen solution and slowly transition into your flowering stage. Once flowering begins, after about week and a half, 2 weeks, you'll start seeing the little hairs, the white hairs, and little cotton ball sort of puffs at the top of your branches, at the end of your plants. At that point, now you transition to your flowering solution. So the other important thing to remember about early flowering is that the plant will continue to stretch during this period. It's not just going to immediately start once you cut the 12-12 cycle, it's not going to immediately start flowering. They will continue to stretch. So if you don't have a lot of room between your lights and your plant tops, you're going to need to do something, either raising your lights higher up in the canopy or bending branches so that they don't grow up into the light. And you definitely have to accommodate almost every strain. Every strain has a certain amount of stretch, and some strains have a foot and a half to 2 foot of stretch during that period. So you definitely have to accommodate for that. That's basically an extension of the vegetative growth and part of that transitional period that you're doing here. And it happens naturally outdoors right around this time in most areas, at least in North America, right around August, mid-August, plants outdoors start their flowering process. So if you have those plants outdoors, it's the same thing. Start feeding them. Keep feeding them a high nitrogen solution, but start transitioning to your higher potassium and phosphorus solution. And always remember calcium and magnesium, and monitoring the pH is important at this time too. All right, that is early flowering. Now we are going to get into our strain of the week from my book, The Official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains. And this one is near and dear to my heart. This is Cali Mist from Sirius Seeds. This is literally, if not my favorite, then one of my top favorite sativas to smoke in Amsterdam. This is one of those sativas that's not a haze. It's got its own spicy flavor. It's got its own profile, a taste profile and a high profile that's just incredible. Very energetic, very strong, very long-lasting, and I love the spiciness of it. A perfect daytime smoke, very smooth and potent, but without that ceiling that you get from a lot of indicas where, you crash out at some point. It just keeps getting higher and higher when you smoke it. And as far as medical uses, really great for people suffering from depression, people with nausea, people with migraines too, because it's very cerebral. There's a serious heady aspect to the Cali mist that I really love. Like most sativas, worth growing. This one's a little tougher to grow and bring to fruition. It's got a pretty long flowering time, anywhere between 10 and 12 weeks, with harvest windows around 10 and 12 weeks. Slightly different, you know, high profiles at those different harvest windows. But you need to treat them with special care. The longer flowering time, gives you more time for different problems to arise, nutrient lockups and things. And it's a light feeder, so go easy on the nutrients. A little bit goes a long way. Stay at about a quarter to a half strength of whatever is recommended during all stages of growth for the Cali mist. And the other thing is, with it is a sativa, and those thin leaves with less leaf production means that lower branches get a lot of light. So the smaller buds at the bottom will fill out and become quite flavorful and dense for low buds on the plant. Another thing I learned is that growers in Spain and Canada have found that Cali mist resists mold in moist climates. So that's important for people in places where it gets really wet in the fall. Cali mist is one of those sativas that can actually outlast that and get through even those tough conditions, which is great. And now we will go into our third segment, the Dear Danko questions and answers. Mike, we have questions from Twitter, right?
Yeah, we got a couple of questions from Twitter. Let's get right to it. Ryan Hanna, 123, writes, is it okay to start a plant outdoors and flower indoor, or would that mess with the plant?
Well, Ryan, it is okay to do that. It's really just a matter of timing. If you start a plant indoors, if you start the plant outdoors in the fall, you're going to have a plant that starts flowering a lot earlier, and then when you bring it in, it's going to stay short and flower right at that point. But if you started outdoors, you know, in the spring or the summer and let it vegetate for a while and then bring it inside, that's great. And I know growers who do that. So you can pull that off pretty easily. It's really just a matter of timing it right so that you're not shocking the plant back into a vegetative stage or flowering it too early. So indoors and outdoors is great. A lot of people do veg their plants outside and bring them in. It's more common for people to veg their plants inside and then put them out. And that's how these growers in Cali outdoors have been getting these huge, you know, 12 and 15 foot plants, is by starting them indoors, vegging them for, you know, several months under metal halide lighting.
Now, what's the benefit there? Is that to sort of protect them from the elements, or what
happens? It builds a root system, and typically they're starting these plants in the winter, so they couldn't be outdoors at that time. So they get a longer vegetative stage of growth. They get stronger and bigger, and they develop a big root system. Then, when they're placed outside, they've already got a huge head start on any plant that could have been planted directly outdoors. You're basically bulking them up before you put them outside, and that way then they get all summer long to vegetate and grow even bigger. And then by the time they start flowering, they're these massive trees. And you know, I've just seen these, you know, 10-pound plants, 10-pound dry out there, but they all had the forethought to start these plants indoors long before they ever put them out. So that is the answer for Brian.
All right, Ryan Hanna, 123. Hopefully that answers the question. It is okay to plant outdoors and then flower indoor. The next question comes from Vanilla Joe. These are all Twitter questions this week, Dan. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, man. We've been getting a ton of response from our online audience. We really encourage people to subscribe and check out Twitter, check out Facebook. Participate in the show. We want your participation. We love getting these questions. I love answering these things for people. And we're going to continue to do so. What does Vanilla Joe have for his question?
All right, Vanilla Joe wants to know, how do you clip plants so they grow bushier rather than taller?
Okay. All right. Pretty much any way that you clip plants will make them grow bushier rather than taller, because anytime you take you take off a growing shoot, you're going to create two or more growing shoots. You just have to do this during the vegetative stage so that you're not cutting into your eventual yield, and you give the plant time to recover from that clipping. But there's many different ways of pinching, supercropping, fimming technique. My colleague Kyle Cushman knows all about that. Basically, anything you can do to create a bushier plant is wonderful during that vegetative stage. And then once you start the flowering, of course, you don't want to clip the plant anymore. You got to prepare for it all during veg. But the more you clip, the bushier your plant, just like with a bonsai tree. Some people I've seen just constantly clipping. Some people bend the plant very gently. Some people will pinch it so that they don't completely destroy the growing shoot. That's the FIM technique, otherwise known as fuck I missed, because they didn't actually pinch the whole top, and then they ended up with three tops or four tops or five tops. So there's a lot of great techniques you can use during the vegetative stage to keep the plant short and stocky, and that'll pay off in the end, because most grow lights, even 1,000-watt lights, can't penetrate more than 3 to 4 feet down through your foliage. So you really want to have a nice level canopy, and you create that by pinching and bending and tying branches down. So it is wise to do that. It will raise your yields. Just don't do it within about 10 days of when you cut your flowering cycle. Save it for the earliest stages of growth, and that will keep the plant short and stocky.
Now, what was that acronym again? Fuck I missed.
Yeah. It was actually a reader from years ago in the early 90s wrote in while Kyle was here and described this method. And Kyle was like very intrigued, and he tried it, and it actually worked. And basically, it's fuck I missed because they missed pinching the whole growing tip, and somehow that allowed that growing tip to grow as well as other tips around it. So they actually created multiple tops from one top, and so that became the fimming method, and that it's quite popular, and I've definitely heard of a lot of people increasing their yields and harvest by doing that.
All right. Started as a mistake and turned into something profitable. Excellent.
Yeah, like a lot of the best ideas out there.
Absolutely. All right, well, back to Twitter here. Real Petey Sneak wants to know, if you have any first-timer strained soil setups, much appreciated, and keep toking, smiley face. Sent to you a little smiley face.
Nice. Well, thank you, sir. First-timers should really sort of focus on indicas or hybrids, sativa-indica hybrids, and stay away from pure sativas or heavily sativa-dominant plants because they have a longer flowering time. They're a little more picky, typically, just a little tougher to grow. So I would stick with a nice indica, like a hash plant, something like that. And, learn everything you can. Get the books, get the DVDs, devour the High Times magazines. We try to print as much information as we can about growing, so read up on that. And as far as soil situations, my thing that I tell people all the time is those 5-gallon buckets you get from Home Depot for $2.99 or whatever they cost, those are perfect. You drill a hole or two in the bottom. You fill that with a pro mix of some kind of a coco core or soilless mix, and then hand water. You know, it's the simplest and the cheapest way to get started without having to buy an expensive hydro system or any kind of big containers and barrels and buckets and chillers and all that stuff. You just get those buckets from, the 5-gallon buckets, poke some holes in the bottom, fill it with dirt, plant some seeds or get some clones and put them in there. That's really your best bet. Put them under some lights or put them outdoors. If you're growing outdoors, of course, just dig deep holes, big holes, and fill them with soil. Don't grow in your native soil unless it's particularly rich. It's always best to supplement your local soil. That's what I'd say. As far as beginners go, it's not impossible. Anyone can grow. All you need is a small space, and you can get started too. So that's why we call the show Free Weed. Nobody can resist free weed, and all you need for free weed is just some seeds and a light or the sun, and it's not that hard. So, if you're a beginner, you'll very quickly become an intermediate and shortly even maybe be an expert.
All right. Got time for a couple more here?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Keep them coming. I love this interaction.
All right, cool. Well, the Chronic News wants to know, again on Twitter, I'm eager to get into the green rush. How do I get a job at a dispensary?
Well,
got any thoughts on that one?
Yeah. I mean, the first thing you do is just apply for a job. These places are legitimate businesses. They are hiring employees that they feel will make good workers, whether it be bud tending, buying. You know, there's a number of different things that they have. If you have skills in yoga or acupuncture, you know, counseling for people, they do NA and AA counseling for people who actually use medical cannabis, which I find amazing because, you know, a lot of times people will go to these NA or AA meetings and they'll be shunned because they're cannabis users and somehow they're drug addicts, but really they're medical marijuana patients who are trying to stay off of hard drugs or alcohol. And so it's nice to have a place for them to do that. So if you have any specialties with that, if you're, you know, you can't just go there and smoke weed all day. That's really not what they're looking for. So you want to show professionalism. You want to show that you know the subject matter. You know, do your research. Make sure you understand cannabis as a medicine. Make sure you understand how it works, why it works, what different strains. You know, pick up a copy of my book. You know, you wanna exude professionalism like a trichome exudes essential oil.
I guess it's not a whole lot different than breaking into any other industry. You got to know what you're talking about. You have to do the research and then be a presentable interviewee, right?
Exactly, exactly. And the idea of getting into it for the green rush, get into it for the love, you know. I mean, it seems to me you definitely love cannabis. Get into it for the love. Study up on it. Figure it out where you want to be. And the job will come to you organically.
Well, there you go. All right, well, that was good. And then we got one more here, and it's a bit of a tricky one, so you might want to put some real thought into this. The Individuals wants to know, if you had to pick a date, what year do you think marijuana will become legal on a federal level?
Oh, wow. Okay, that is a tough one, and that's from The Individuals. That's a hip-hop group. Great friends of mine, Pony Boy and them, and that is quite a thought-provoking question. If I had to pick a date, I'm going to pick January 2nd, 2013 as the date because Obama will be reelected and he will immediately decree that marijuana is legal on a federal level. He was just waiting until the second term to reveal it, and he's going to light up a joint in the Oval Office.
What are they going to do at that point? You know?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, D.C. has medical marijuana, so he's going to be a patient. Right there and fire up a joint in the Oval Office to announce that marijuana is officially legal on a federal level. And then let the economy grow. Let the jobs pour in and let the cannabis-based economy begin.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. What was it, January 20th?
January 3rd. January 20th.
Right, because that's when you
would take
office.
January 20th, 2013.
Right.
Marijuana will be legal.
That's when it's going down. Danny Danko said it first right here on air. You guys heard it.
You know, I'm joking about that, but the truth is if everyone who smoked marijuana stood up right now between now and the election and basically called the White House, called their local representatives and got involved – that would be the truth. And so you can make it true. You can make my joke true by just getting involved and in any way you can, whether it be donating money, whether it be donating whatever it is you might do, web design or anything you do, give a little bit to the movement. If you're a grower, you know, give some bud. If you're a patient, just speak to your family. We can do it. It's not outside the realm of possibility. We just have to get involved. So that's my final message on that.
All right. Well, that's Dear Danko. But tweet us. Send us your tweets and your questions.
Absolutely. Please do. And for more Dear Danko, please check out our October issue, which is chock full of grow info. We've got a great article on Michigan, Nico's Cannabis Cup Preview. It's on in Amsterdam this year. Also, we got a newsletter. You can sign up for that. This is brand new, High Times newsletter. You can opt into this and sign up on our homepage at hightimes.com. As usual, you can always check out hightimes.com/freeweed for all your free weed needs. We've got 3 episodes up there that you might not have heard. And if you have, thank you very much. Subscribe, rate, talk about them, tweet about them. All right, we are going to take a break. Stick around, though, because when we come back, we will have a very interesting interview with grow guru Jorge Cervantes. All right, we are back, and we're very excited to have this wonderful interview with a friend and a mentor, Jorge Cervantes, the Grow Guru.
Well, hey, Danny, thanks a lot. It's good to talk again.
Oh, it's great to speak to you, and I got to say, it was you who really taught me how to grow, so I owe my career and much of my success and everything to you. And so it's really an honor to have you on the show. The show is called Free Weed from Danny Danko. So we're trying to spread the same message that you've been spreading for so many years.
Well, that's a great name. I love the name of your new show, Free Weed. But I think you're giving me too much credit. I mean, because you did all the work, and that's what everybody else is doing. They're doing all the work.
Yeah, well, you were the inspiration. And I mean, with
help people along.
Yeah, absolutely. You were the inspiration, though, with 25 books in 7 languages and 3 DVDs and all this great stuff. I think, you know, you've always kind of showed me the way in this industry. So I'm very excited to have you on my show.
Well, cool. Thanks so much. Actually, I do also. I write for 20 magazines in 10 languages beyond the book.
Right.
And also, we're just going to release a new DVD in the next week or two.
Oh, excellent. Is that the one that I've seen the teaser videos with the huge plants that are like 15 feet tall?
Yep, that's the one, the 10-pound plant. They're, giant plants. It's giant green plants is what they are.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing, and that's what they're doing out in California with being able to plant these plants in full sun and water them, you know, several times a day. They've been able to get these giant trees, right?
Well, yeah, it's pretty amazing. What they do is they put them out early on in the spring, and they put them under a plastic, and they have to give them light in the springtime, you know, just so they don't flower because it's so early. And the real trick is getting a good organic soil and a big bunch of it. They're growing in 200 to 500 gallon pot, or actually from 50 to 500 gallon. And then to keep it in the ground a long time, that's how it gets so darn big.
Yeah, exactly, right? They start them early. And I think even sometimes they do it indoors. They start them way indoors, even in the winter, right?
Oh, well, yeah, they're in the winter, yeah, after the first year, January, February, March, like that. And then they're putting out plants that are a couple of feet tall, feet tall when they put them out, you know. So that's pretty good size. And then they acclimate them and everything. These guys really know what they're doing, and they've also got local varieties that do well in their climate.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, and then another thing that they do at harvest. Just imagine a 10-pound plant harvesting 10 pounds at once. That's a lot of medicine in one place. So what they do is they'll take and cut the top 2 feet off of the outside of the plant and harvest all of the big buds. And then there's a second crop. Some plants have a third and even a fourth crop.
Right. They're like harvest windows, right?
Exactly. Well, what it does when you harvest your plants like that, it'll increase the volume of actual harvest weight, dried buds, by 40%.
Wow. Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. And it gives those lower branches a chance to mature in the sunshine, right?
Yes, exactly. And here's the most interesting part. The growers, the actual growers are out there with the plants all day that know good from bad. They always pick the last bud for their own personal medicine.
Wow. The one that's been on the bush the longest.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah. And right now in California, well, now in the last about, it started about 3 weeks ago, the light deprivation crops are coming in.
Right.
Those crops, right, they grow in the greenhouse and then cover the greenhouse so it's completely dark inside, and they induce flowering that way. So what happens is the plants flower under the most intense sunlight. So those buds get to be incredibly big very fast.
Wow, nice. Well, yeah, you mentioned medicine. You recently got your medical card, right?
Oh, yeah. I got it last year, and oh, nice. I've been in America long enough to renew it once.
So, oh, nice. How did it feel to walk into the shop for the first time and you know, be treated like a customer there?
Danny, that was, you know, I mean, I've been in self-imposed exile for the last 10 years in Spain.
Yeah.
And that's because, well, I the politic here just didn't fit with my feelings. And when I came back to my own country, where I have so many friends that are still in jail, that are still paying the price of this horrid war on drugs, and I was able to walk in as an American citizen and buy cannabis for the first time, I really couldn't believe it. It flipped me out, you know. And trust me, I've been a few places and I've done a few things. And then when I walked outside with this brown bag that had a staple on it with the receipt on the outside, I opened it, and I swear to God, I cried. I cried at it.
Wow! Yeah, it is amazing. I mean, we've been fighting all our lives for something like that, and so that is just incredible. And you were recently able to sort of change out of the costume and, you know, come out basically in some ways as who you really are, right? And that amazing amount of progression that's happened in just a few years is pretty incredible.
Oh, it flipped me out. It really does. You know, I mean, I look at before, every day was Halloween for me, you know, and you had to, you know, like be somebody you're not. And, you know, I mean, you're still your same person inside, but it just takes a little bit away from you. You know, you're just not as strong.
Yeah. Well, you and I have both met so many people who've actually done time, you know, in jail and been separated from their families and stuff. All of those emotions are just incredible, and it all comes to the front whenever you experience freedom, true freedom like that. You gotta always be thinking about, you know, all the people who suffered in the past all these years, our friends and people we know, you know, who have paid the price.
Well, yeah, and they're still suffering as well. Don't
oh yeah, no, it's not over by a long shot.
War is not over. We're on even ground now, and we've got even times we can have. You know, we're not victims any longer.
Yeah. Well, the pendulum is shifting, right?
Pardon?
The pendulum is shifting in our favor.
Very much so. The pendulum is definitely in our court. It's swung all the way over, almost to legalization, and we will have legalization this next year. It's going to be a presidential year. And we'll also see a lot more states go with medical marijuana.
Yeah, well, that's exciting. That's definitely exciting. Another interesting thing I wanted to talk to you about was Project CBD. I've heard recently that you're involved in that as well, and I just wanted to find out a little more about that.
Project CBD is great. There's the name of the website is projectcbd.org. And there's also the CBDcrew.org, which is the European CBD organization that I'm also a part of. And I'm kind of like the bridge guy in between both of them, because I come to both countries regularly now. And anyway, what it is, it's Fred Gardner.
Gardner, yeah.
Has started, and oh, just a minute, I just medicated out.
well, you know what? Let me just keep people apprised. We're talking to Jorge Cervantes right now, and we're talking about Project CBD. This is a medical marijuana project to develop and study the effect of CBD, cannabidiol, and various, I guess, terpenes and flavonoids and cannabinoids and their effect with THC on medical symptoms and things that people are suffering with, right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, it's Fred Gardner who started the O'Shaughnessy's magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And then also Martin Lee, who's an author, quite an author in his own right. And then Sarah Russo, who's Dr. Ethan Russo's daughter,
mm-hmm.
is also a part of the team, and she's doing an incredible amount of work. But projectcbd.org, you can find all kinds of stuff out about CBD. It's kind of like the forgotten cannabinoid, but it turns out that it's incredibly good for inflammation and relieving pain. And it's the main thing. And what's good in this Protestant society that we live in, or judgmental society, is it doesn't get you hot. And, you know, medicines, according to the establishment, are not supposed to make you feel good. They're just supposed to take away pain. So, anyway, it fits along with everything, but it's been studied very, very little, and we're really getting up a lot of information about it and looking for some more serious studies to be done, because the studies have just recently started in the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, it's really exciting, and for medicinal patients, it's life-changing and life-saving. So really excited about that. That's projectcbd.org. And if people want to get in touch with you or find out more about your books and your videos, actually, I just heard that your books are available as ebooks as well, right?
Yeah. Everything we've got, well, it's ebooks so far, just in English. And we're doing Spanish and Italian now, and soon we'll be doing Russian.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's great. I'm very, very proud of doing a new Russian book. The Marijuana Horticulture will be in Russian.
Oh, that's amazing. It's in Polish right now, right? And
No. Oh. I wish it were in Polish. That'd be great. Because, I mean, fuck, man.
That's all right.
There's 60 million Polish speakers out there, man. That's a ton of people. You know, and the country is ripe. They've already got their own magazine. It's one of the soft secrets issues. Mm-hmm. And then they've got another one as well, more of a local one there. Wow. So, yeah, that's definitely a growth area. So is, you know, so is Germany. Czech Republic is just, there's tons of growers there, literally. Now, Austria, you know, there's Cultiva.at, which is the big Austrian fair that takes care of kind of like Central Europe and a lot of Western Europe people show up there too. But here's the thing. I'm also launching JorgeCervantes.tv. And
.tv, is that for the videos? And
Yes.
Oh, that's excellent. That is great. And people can go to marijuanagrowing.com or JorgeCervantes.tv to find out more about the things you're working on and your various projects, right?
That's correct. That's correct. Yeah, you know. Well, I got Valdez, my video guy, is filming right now. I'm watching him as we speak.
Oh, that's great.
We've got hours of video, and I'm really excited about our new video.
Jorge
Cervantes Cannabis Expedition.
Oh, nice. Are you traveling for that as well?
Well, yeah. For me, I live in California at this time, part of the year anyway, and so we're doing all kinds of California stuff now, and then we'll do different states and different things. Our next video after this is Israel.
Oh wow! Yeah, we were talking about Israel earlier in the show. They just their government recently just approved medical marijuana completely. And the production of it by their health ministry. So there's a conservative government, more conservative than ours, that actually accepts the medical marijuana completely.
It's pretty amazing, you know. But don't get it wrong. I mean, it's still a rough road over there. They almost totally threw out all of the medical cannabis out of Israel and almost bought it all from the Netherlands.
Right, they were going to import it, and then they figured correct. Out they could produce it cheaper.
Yep.
Right.
Yep, and that's because of a few key people that are stand-up guys that don't quit.
Wow, that's great.
And, Trust me, they're all over the world. They're here in America. They're in every state in America, and we need every one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. We mentioned CBDs earlier. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about just all of the other elements of the essential oil that makes up the trichome. I know you've been talking about the terpenes and all the flavonoids and things. Isn't it their interaction with THC that makes for the high, the more interesting or different, or an up right. high or a down high? Because THC right. alone is fairly boring.
Well, yeah, exactly. The THC molecule is the only stable one. All of the other cannabinoids, including terpenes and all, are unstable. And the terpenes are volatile. That means when you heat them up, they go up into the air, and if you're fortunate, you're able to inhale them at that time. But they're the first thing that goes when you put a match to a pipe. So then the other thing is THC volatilizes at a like 3 degrees lower temperature than CBD, which is also interesting. And furthermore, when I was recently in Spain, I did tests with the THC, we tested the amount of THC that was in the cannabis before we vaporized it. We vaporized it for 10 minutes, and it had no smell or taste in it left. We thought it was gone. We tested that. That had 50% THC in it still.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of people are missing that part. They volatilize everything else, and they think it's gone because all the flavor's gone. But the active ingredient in that molecule is still there.
Wow.
Yeah. Cool. Just real simple things, too, that we're learning, and we should have known this stuff like in the 1930s.
Yeah, well, if it wasn't so difficult to conduct these studies and tests, if the government and the federal agencies didn't make it so difficult, we would have that information at our fingertips. But more and more of that is going to come out in the near future. And I know you're paying close attention to that as I am. And it's exciting to know that there's so much out there for us to still discover about this wonderful plant.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's and it's going to be more and more. I'm very, very excited about the future. And can't wait for the next big discovery.
Yeah, and it's one of the great things about states like California and Colorado, where we've been able to establish labs like Steep Hill and Full Spectrum, where they actually do the testing to find the THC level, the CBD level, and all of those things.
Full Spectrum Labs and Samantha over there is just pretty incredible. As you know, I interviewed Wilson from Steep Hill Labs. Uh-huh. And you can see that the Steep Hill Lab video on. In fact, I interviewed him at the High Times Cannabis Cup in Medical Cannabis Cup in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. They had one of the stands there. Anyway, you can get a complete idea of what he did on that video. And then also, I'd like to talk about Samantha from the other dispensary there in Santa Rosa. My gosh, she has collected so much information. These guys are total bibliophiles, and they are so cool.
Yeah, I mean, it really is amazing, and we're only going to find out new and more interesting and effective things about cannabis. And I just want to thank you for being on the show, and I want to thank you for handing over the Q&A column that from High Times that I turned into Dear Danko, your Jorge's RX column. That was just one of the highest honors of my life, as well as you writing the introductory intro for my book as well. I was just over the moon about that. I was very, very proud and excited and happy and honored that you would do that. And you know, every event, every place I've been, you've helped me to navigate this somewhat interesting industry as well. So thanks a lot for that.
Well, hey, Danny, what can I say? You do good work.
Thank you so much.
That's it.
Thank you so much.
You know,
That's awesome. I really appreciate it. I'm grinning ear to ear right now, and it's not just because I'm high. If people want to get more information, find out more about Jorge, check out marijuanagrowing.com, check out his ebooks on there, buy his books, check out jorgecervantes.tv for some awesome videos, and
I'm also on YouTube, all over YouTube.
Yeah, search him on YouTube. There's some huge plants and some really interesting stuff you can see there for free. That's just a glimpse of what you'll get from the websites as well, and from the books and from the DVDs.
Cool. Well, hey, thanks for the plug. I appreciate it. That's
hey,
nice.
Right on. Thank you for being on the show. Thanks for everything that you've done in the past, and I hope we'll continue to do in the future.
Well, excellent. Thanks so much, Danny. It's been a real pleasure to be on the show. I'm really glad you're continuing to do such great stuff.
All right. Thank you very much.
Ciao.
All right. We are going to wrap it up here and take a short break. Stick around for our wrap-up of the show. All right, we are back, and I just want to thank my guests here, Nico Escondido, Currency, and Jorge Cervantes. Thank you very much. To the listeners, we would just want to say one quote of the week: we smoked it all. That's our quote. That's a little inside joke for Russ there. And contact us on Twitter at DannyDanko.com. We've got hashtag free weed. Check it out. Please subscribe, rate it, love it, hate it, give us criticism, tell us what to do to make it better. We apologize for we're just so very sorry. But hope you enjoyed the show, and stay tuned for more free weed.